Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Our special guest today is Todd Laments. Todd has got a book called Lose Your Ego, Gain the World, and he's going to be talking to us about how to keep that ego in check. And it's an important part of reintegration. And I think you'll see what I mean as we go through the program. We'll be back with Todd right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Sure do love to get that email from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. I am a stubborn man. Let's get away and take my hand. But how I long for killing. You see, you got in a winter. Living forever sometimes. Well, I want to. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Todd Laments. Todd is an expert in ego control and keeping things in proper perspective. Man, don't we all need a little bit of that? And he has authored a book entitled Lose Your Ego, Gain the World. Welcome, Todd, to the Journey of Hope.
Thanks for having me on the show, Ron. I appreciate it.
No problem. We have a little tradition here. We always like to start with the guest giving us a little bit of background about themselves. So could you do that for us, Todd?
Absolutely. Before I got into the business I'm in now, which is training and speaking, I was a business person for a while, owned a lot of small businesses, and I went through a stage where I, at a pretty young age, mid-20s, I was having a lot of financial success in business, and I just kind of got an overabundance of a lot of different things, and I started to overdrink and overeat and overdrug and over everything, and I somehow drove about 3 businesses. I actually got fired from a business that had my own name, which I didn't know was possible, but yeah, so.
Okay.
And then I had a recovery of a lot of different things. I had a total transformation in my life, spiritually and financially, and now I go around the country and tell people about my stories.
And so the thrust of what got you turned around, I'm assuming, had to do with what you discovered about ego. And so let's just get started with a good definition of ego. I think we've all got a general idea, obviously, of what that is. But what's your definition of ego?
You know, it's a lot of things, different things with the people. It isn't it's a spiritual term, kind of like evil.
Okay.
You know, so it's something that everybody has in them a little bit. It's just a matter of if you can control it. And the ego is kind of how you see yourself and your true self. You know, a lot of us have a front that we put on, and I took some acting classes, and the teacher talked to us about how different we are. And if you think about how different you are when you talk to your grandmother, your daughter, or your boss, you have a totally different voice. You talk about different things. Some people you might use certain kind of language, other people you don't. So a lot of times we have to really try to be our true self all the time to everybody.
Okay, and so your ego is kind of what you see when you look in the mirror, then, I guess. And so how does not putting that into proper perspective affect our life? If our ego is out of whack, what's going to happen?
You know, years ago, this person told me that when somebody's, if someone becomes financially successful, it makes them a lot more of whatever they already are, truly are. So if they're kind of a jerk and, you know, condescending and a bully, there'll be more of that. And if they're a generous, giving, loving person, they'll do even more of that. So ego control is really about really discovering, taking inventory of who you really are, who you really are meant to be. Because I believe we're all created to be something special, and we all have a purpose. But I think a lot of times with just being busy in life and all the things that come at us, we forget who we are.
Man, one name jumps out at me as you describe that, as far as the ego magnifying who you really are, I think T-R-U-M-P.
Yeah, I've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah, we don't really talk about politics on my little podcast here, but I think it's safe to say that Donald has a maybe a little overblown image of himself. Would you say that?
I would agree with that.
Despite the fact whether you like him or voted for him. Doesn't he seem like a person who doesn't have his ego in check?
Absolutely. And a lot of times that can come from, he's a second generation. He was born with money. And a lot of times I do a lot of counseling business to people who own a large car dealership auto groups. And a lot of times their kids are running the show now.
Right.
You know, and they don't know what a candy bar costs. They never had any hard times. So as down to earth and as, you know, easy it is to talk to the owners of the car, the true owners, we start dealing with the royalty. It's tough.
Yeah.
And I think that's very similar. You just have never had any tough times financially. Not to say that it doesn't rain on them in different ways.
I don't think we really got to the answer to the question, though, that if you've got an ego that's a little out of whack, what are the specific things in your life that are going to be affected by that? How is that going to, why is it a bad thing? I mean, I know it is.
It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing when it's out of control and you start to use it to bully people and to be rude, thinking that you're the center of the universe, that only what you have to offer matters. You know, you start being, you know, somebody's an attorney at work and they come home and they start being an attorney to their family.
Right.
Eventually what happens is you abuse everyone around you, and the only thing that really happens is you get humbled, and humility always hurts.
Right.
Nobody likes to be. We need to be humbled, but we hate to be humbled. And it happens to absolutely everybody. Even Donald Trump.
Even Donald Trump. Okay, so why write the book? What inspired you? I know that you turned yourself around, but tell us about the process of deciding to write the book. How did that happen?
I had no other options. I had lost my, I was sitting in a parking lot at a Bank of America, and I was two weeks behind on payroll for my companies. I'd lost my wife. I'd lost my house. I'd lost everything. So I really did it mostly out of a kind of save myself and reflect on.
Right.
And I'm not a writer. I'm a D student in high school. I barely graduated. So for me to write a book, I'm not like someone who went to college and wrote hundreds of papers and stuff. I haven't.
Right.
So it was just kind of from the heart, and it's a pretty interesting story, I think. But that's what inspired me, was just having to do something, and writing about it helped me.
Mike, I'm not sure you're aware of this or not, but the primary audience of this podcast is ex-offenders. And people that have overcome adversity like you have are of interest to us. And the reason for that is when people come home from incarceration and they're trying to rebuild their lives, they're going through major adversity. And it's unless you've been there, it's hard to describe or to get someone to understand it. But I think you probably come pretty close, given your situation. What did you learn about when you were turning yourself around? What did you learn about yourself? What pointers would you give to people that are going through similar situations now?
Well, I'm the one of incarceration, starting your life over. I have a lot of experience with rehabilitation as far as drug and alcohol stuff. And I have personal friends of mine who, I think what it's important to remember is that you get lots of chances in life, and some people get more than others.
Right.
But you're always going to get extra chances. And a lot of the problems I've had with some of my friends or some of the challenges they've had is they think they've used them all up. And they really have. And I have friends who have murdered people and gone to prison and gotten out. And now, if you saw them, they own houses and they work at jobs, and they're as normal as it comes. And that isn't one person. I know a few people that way. Right. And so I think that a lot of times people think, because I have a record, no one's going to ever. It's not true. It just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can say that about almost anybody. Well, if I would have went to a better college, or if I would have, you know, been born in the right area, or, there's always going to be obstacles. But I think don't ever give up. I think if you give up too soon, you know, the miracle's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it happens for everybody, but only happens for people who don't give up.
Well, you know, people that have been through rehab, especially people that have been through multiple times, they probably have no idea how close they came to getting caught with drugs on their body and
absolutely
possession. You know, so it very well could have been it could have been you, you know, and you know that, and you know
that. Yeah, or driving that car home with drugs on you and kill somebody.
Absolutely.
It could happen to me any day, every day. And so I emphasize that, too, and I never thought of myself as being street smart or being lucky. It didn't happen for me, and I don't know why.
Right.
And maybe it should have.
Well, it does happen. It does happen to people. And so in your book, let's move on and talk more about your book. I want to find out a little bit about how reading this book is going to help an ex-offender. What is in that book that would help this audience?
A lot of it's going to be the experiences of just, it seems to be every time I'm okay. I read a story about, I have a friend who's a lion tamer, and he's trained lions. He's in Arizona for different circuses and stuff. And, and everybody always tells him, they say, you know, I want you to feed the lions before we come around them. And he says, that's not how it works. You want them to be starved, hungry, and then they'll listen to you.
Wow.
And a lot of times with people who have addiction problems or have, you know, a lot of times when you're incarcerated, you're incarcerated because you didn't get along with people on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go into a community of people who don't get along with each other on the inside, who had problems with people on the outside. So it's just a culture for negativity and, you know, and it can be tough to be around that every day and not to get hardened too much. But my book's about keeping things in proper perspective and not being oversensitive. It's a self-help book, but it's very practical in its usage. And it's kind of like when you go to rehab or you go to a dietitian or a personal trainer and you say, oh, I tried that, it doesn't work. Well, if you don't listen to anything they say, you're right, it's not going to work.
So an open mind would be helpful, I'm assuming. And I'm assuming also, Todd, that the things that you talk about, like negativity and the social aspect that you just mentioned, those things can be improved when you address the issues with your ego, right?
Absolutely. And everything is how you see it. You know, you have people who are in wheelchairs who are totally happy, and you have people who are in mansions in the Hamptons who are not. You know, and you got to be really have a strong, strong feeling of who you really are, who yourself is, and where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst feelings to me, obviously, and it's going to sound kind of obvious, is that hopelessness. And you can have that sitting in the jail cell. You can have that sitting in your driveway. You know, on your way to work, you can have that feeling of total hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you have things to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't easy when you don't have money and you don't have anywhere to go. But you have to keep the hope, and you have to surround yourself with the right kind of people. Without surrounding yourself with the right kind of people, you're bound to fail every time.
So get rid of your drug friends. Seriously?
Yes.
Get away from
absolutely. And some of those friends are relatives. Unfortunately.
That's right.
And we justify it by, I've known this person for this many years, or mm-hmm. or this is my brother, cousin, whatever. I used to talk a lot about just eliminating toxic relationships,
mm-hmm.
but I think what's as important to that is to go out and replace those five people that you drug buddies with five people who got their shit together.
Right.
And that's a harder club to get into. Because, and for the very reason is those people are busy, they're active, they're interesting.
That's absolutely correct. You're right about that. They're not looking to add to their circle. And I have found that myself. So it might take a little persistence. And Todd, we're getting real close on time here. This sounds like a great book. I haven't read the book. It sounds like an excellent read, though. How do people find it?
It's on Amazon, exclusively on Amazon.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter. Okay. I'd like to connect with anybody on Twitter. Anyone who has any questions, I'm always available.
All right.
So.
Cool.
Any of your audience that needs someone to talk to, I'm always here.
Well, we appreciate that. You better be careful. You may get someone to take you up on that. Todd Lamentz. The book is called Lose Your Ego, Gain the World. Todd, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rodney.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, drop me a line, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. If you've got a show suggestion or you'd like to suggest a guest, I'd be more than willing to take a look at it. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And we're out of time. I want to thank my special guest today, Todd Lamentz, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.